Welcome to the Move Rural Canada podcast, where every week we showcase incredible businesses in rural and northern Canada. Businesses that are not only growing, but are looking to hire.
We're here to show you companies and communities outside of the big cities that are building stronger and more inclusive workplaces. Workplaces that want and are encouraging newcomers, immigrants, and refugees to work with them.
Let us be your guides to help you find the best places in Canada to not only immigrate, but build a career and settle.
I'm your host, Leah Mitchell.
And I am your co-host, Lindsay Rubenek.
Join us as we learn about all of the amazing career opportunities in places that you may not have ever thought of moving.
Let's get started.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the Move Rural Canada podcast. Today we have on Melanie Specula. She is a business owner in Gimli, as well as the newcomer program development coordinator. Welcome, Melanie.
Thank you.
So I'm just going to do a quick summary, Lindsay, on how I know Melanie and why I wanted her here on the podcast. Melanie and I met a few years back. They have a great initiative in Gimli in encouraging and supporting newcomers into their area. And they've got some really outside of the box ideas that have been very successful. And I really wanted to showcase what they're doing. It also ties in really well because, you know, obviously our last episode, we chatted with Veeder, which is in Aarberg, and Gimli is only 30 minutes from Aarberg. So it's just another example of, you know, rural communities. You can live in one community and you can drive 30 minutes and go to work. You know, it's not any different than sitting in traffic for 30 minutes, you know, in downtown Winnipeg. And it's probably a lot more relaxing to drive than be stuck in traffic. So, Melanie, how about you tell us a little bit about yourself and what you do?
I'm going to start just from the beginning because I think it's important to know how I got involved in this. And it was through the chamber. I was co-chair of the Chamber of Commerce along with Cheryl Buehler. And we could see the desperate need for businesses having major lacks of staff, including myself in the restaurant industry. And I can always use myself in two ways. Like, I know what the businesses are going through because I went through that, the same thing. At the time the war began, we had an empty dormitory that was previously used by cadets, like the training center. It was sitting empty, so we had a discussion and decided, should we try and, you know, we can help these people and they can in turn help us, and we can help them in a big way. You know, we can give them transitional housing. So we went on to do that. So what I do has kind of evolved and changed. Initially, it was to gain the trust of the people that were interested in coming to Gimli, that we are a safe place. It's a safe place to come, that we're going to help them. We literally started out just met with messages and emails responding to people that then came to the dorm. And from there, we would settle them in, help them find jobs, help get them doctors, take them grocery shopping, everything. But it's changed since then. Everything is still happening, but I'm doing more of the coordinating part of it. I'm still doing dorm tours. I still meet people at my restaurant. My restaurant's kind of a safe place. I say they're welcome anytime, and they come and we sit down. They have questions. So that's always worked out really well for me and for them.
So, go ahead, Lindsay. What kind of positions when you were attracting people to come and live and work in your community? What kind of positions were there or are there currently for people to fill?
Well, right now, there's quite a few. We've got, like, as of yesterday, there's a job for an education assistant at the Evergreen School Division, also an administrative assistant. There's a child care worker is needed. Our Deals for Dollars is looking for help, looking for employees. Dairy Queen. We've got Lakeview that's looking for a front desk clerk and a cook. Sobeys is looking. Our liquor store is looking for a courtesy clerk. We've got a healthcare aide is needed and landscaper. So that's what's available today. There's probably more. That's what I'm aware of today. So that you can see there's still quite a few job openings.
And I think, too, it's really important to note, you know, for people coming to Canada or people who have lower level English, you know, you might not get that job that you want right off the bat, right? But here's an opportunity to get your foot in the door, increase your English skills, and then you can get those other positions or get those credentials recognized. But getting your foot in, you know, networking, meeting people, it's a great opportunity to do that. Can you tell us a little bit about Gimli and the community?
Yes. So Gimli's community has been amazing, helping these people of really for this program. They were really excited to have them coming. And a lot of the people in Gimli have reached out and helped them in their own way. So it's been great as far as the community is concerned. And of course, the businesses are very, very happy with that they were able to fill a lot of their positions.
How large is Gimli? It sort of changes, I guess, in the summer and winter, right? It's a very much a tourist. I should add, it's on a lake as well. So that's really
nice. It's beautiful. I love Gimli, by the way.
Yeah, it's a beautiful little town. We have about 6,500 people in the winter months, but we go up to 15,000 in the spring, summer, and weekends in the fall. So it's quite an adverse town, that's for sure.
And I should note as well, you're only about an hour from Winnipeg. So while you are rural, you are still very close to the city. You know, like I know my husband had a coworker who used to live in Gimli and he commuted to Winnipeg for work, you know? So, I mean, people do it.
Yeah. Or Selkirk.
Mm-hmm.
There's people that are living here that are working in Arbourg and Riverton right now. And I also want to add too, that we do have a driver that drives people to and from their jobs in our area. So he's like a bus driver. He's got a schedule and works with their schedules to get them to work if they don't have a car when they first arrive.
That's brilliant, because actually that was on our list of questions and now you just addressed it, is in terms of transportation. Oftentimes people that live in rural areas don't have access to transportation if they're newcomers. So how did you guys know to do that? How did you arrive at that to say, okay, you know what, we need to actually have someone to assist our newcomers in getting from work to home?
Yeah, so initially we had volunteers helping drive people, but that was super difficult to coordinate people's schedules with our newcomers' work schedules. And we just realized that we had to do something. And there's really no transportation in Gimli other than taxis. At the time, there wasn't a taxi, though. So we actually hired a Ukrainian man to manage our dorm and like look after people if they lose their key or they need anything. He does our intake process now. And he also will drive people back and forth to work. We were able to get an older van, and it's been working for us for, I guess we've been doing that for about close to 2 years.
So in terms of the dormitory, what are all the supports? I mean, well, you know, maybe we should start right at the beginning. Sort of if someone's interested, they hear about this opportunity in Gimli, what would be the first step? Can you walk us through that, to how to connect, you know, learn more about the dormitory? How do they view it? You know, how do they, let's say, register, get a spot? And then what are the supports that come with that? You know, are there opportunities for people to help them for work? You mentioned you have the drivers. Can you sort of take us through, if someone was coming, what that whole process would look like?
Sure. They usually contact me through phone or messenger. Email, ask some questions, and we always offer a tour of the dorm if they can get here. One of the great things we have in our dorm is a big indoor gymnasium. In the summer, it's nice because there's a really nice courtyard area. We have barbecues that were donated and picnic tables. So you know, it's at that point that they decide if they want to stay there. And if they do, then the next step is they move in. We take them looking for jobs. That's another thing we've found is that a lot of people came to Winnipeg first and they couldn't find a job there. I guess there was just so many resumes pouring into so many businesses. So what we did, what I did at the time was I took them directly to businesses and I introduced them to the owners and I said that this person is looking for a job. And that worked amazingly well. They almost always got hired that way. And we continue to do that if they want, you know, if they want us to go with them, then we will do that.
So they sort of have their intake, they can move in and it's for anyone, right? It can be families. It can be single people, right? And is it a certain minimum amount of months they have to stay, or what is sort of the expectation in terms of the dormitory?
So it's month to month, and that way nobody ever has to feel any pressure. If they decide they don't like it, they want to leave, they can leave, and that's perfectly fine. Most of them don't, though. We do charge $375 a month for a room. And that is all in. There's no extra charges on that. Some people with family will take two rooms, and that would be $595 for two rooms. So it's a good way to help them be able to save a little bit of money.
Okay, so when they're settled and you have connected them with a job, let's jump to the employers for just a minute. How has the communication been between the employers and, let's say, someone from Ukraine? Because the difference with newcomers that plan to arrive in Canada, most of them have studied basic English, whereas the people from Ukraine were, you know, they didn't know they were coming, right? Is the best way I can put it. So yeah. How has that been? Or do you guys have a strategy in place, or how did you deal with the communication and English?
Well, initially, we did not have a strategy in place, to be honest, because it was all very sudden. I can speak for myself, and I think a lot of other businesses, because I hired several Ukrainian people and people of other nationalities as well. And it's stressful. There's no doubt about it. But I thought of it like, you think this is stressful for you? Can you just imagine what they're going through? So through various, like, we had actually Leah had.
That's how we met actually initially. I had language classes in Gimli.
Yes. So Leah did language classes. And so as the employer, I actually paid for those classes. And it made a huge difference for two of the people that went to her classes. So it's not easy. There's no question it's not easy. But I say it's not easy for us, but it's way, way more difficult for them. So just do it, you know? And they do. Now all of my staff that I've hired, four of them spoke no English. Now we're down to one. That's still, I think she understands a lot, but she's just not quite speaking it yet. But the others are speaking to her in Ukrainian. So that's part of why she's not really learning her English. She will. But yeah, so it's all, I think it's done, worked out very well for all of us.
And it's a balance. I know, you know, having, you know, in rural, a lot of times there's, you know, online supports too. You know, we did some in-person for a while there. And it really just depends, I think, on exactly like I said, on employer support, on where, you know, newcomers are feeling they're at. You know, if you're working two jobs, it's hard to commit to language right now. So it's really helping people find that balance and really understanding that you do need the English if you want to, you know, get a better paying position, move up, you know, get a house and things like that. So yeah, it can be tough sometimes in rural getting all those supports and with the government cutting language, it's getting harder and harder for, you know, groups to even offer that stuff.
Yes. Like we had Irina from Online Learning come out to the dorm and Velark as well, that had come and assessed their language skills. Some of them had definitely signed up for online learning, but then of course it was cut off there. So it's always a struggle getting English classes, but that's what we're really focused on right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
So let's talk about retention. So you have the people come, so it doesn't matter if they were from Ukraine or, you know, wherever they are from. Mm-hmm. What is Gimli's strategy in terms of retention? Is there lots of employer support for immigration to the community? And what are your thoughts on that?
I would say that there is a lot of support, again, from the business people. Our retention is quite high. People love Gimli. They feel safe here. They can walk anywhere they want. You know, in Gimli, people don't lock their doors. Like, we're just a very safe community. And I think that is their first priority, to be honest with you, to be in a place that's safe. Lately, we've had other people that have been in other provinces. I'll just say Toronto, BC, even Winnipeg, where they can't afford the rent. It's too expensive. Or in some cases, they do not feel safe where they're living. So we've had quite a few people come that way as well. So our retention rate is very high. We've had very few people leave, which is great.
So from a couple of years ago, how many people or families would you say have stayed in the area since this initiative started?
We have 350, including like the children and parents that come to look after the children.
Wow, that's a lot. That's great.
Yeah, yeah.
That's really excellent. Given that, how do you feel the kids are adjusting? Like, so there's an increase to the school population. So obviously it's a benefit for the community. And do you have much opportunity to interact with the youth that had to immigrate to Gimli or have the opportunity to?
Yes, I do definitely have conversations with the youth. When I go to the dorm, there's one 12-year-old boy that gives me all the information that I want all the time. And he loves school, but he gets frustrated because he really likes science, for example. But some of the words the teacher says, he does not understand. And he wants to be able to understand what the teacher's saying. So for some of them, some of the kids' schools has been a problem. We did have a Swiss worker. And I say have because I hear just recently we don't have one anymore. But that Swiss worker would make sure that, you know, they were being looked after.
So a Swiss worker is somebody that goes to the schools. So yeah. It's somebody that, like, so they have an individual that goes to the schools and make sure that the students are, you know, getting what they need. They're liaisoning with the staff and so on and so forth. So that's what it is. So those people that are listening may not know what a Swiss worker is, mm-hmm. but that's really what they are. Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, hopefully you can get that back, or we can advocate to the provincial government for funding in rural areas, because Swiss workers are really critical. And I know from my personal experience working with them is, I just think they're a huge help, especially with our young people, because we so often focus on adults and employment, and we kind of, you know, let the youth slip to the background, where in all reality, they actually are one of the roots that will pull a family to stay where they are. And if a child's not having the best experience in a community, then the newcomer family has the ability to get up and leave, right? So I think it's really, really important that we have Swiss workers and the supports in rural areas to help our youth as well.
Yeah, and I agree. And I should mention that we have just recently had a big change here. I shouldn't say a big change, but Eastman Interlake was always had a settlement server in our dormitory, so we do have an on-site settlement service worker. Now Regional Connections has just taken over, but nothing's really changed. We still have the same settlement worker. Another Swiss worker will be put in place. We just don't know that right now at this time, but I you're right. It's extremely important for the children.
and not to get political here, but I guess I will. I'm a big believer in the Interlake. So I hope that as we grow, the Interlake will be able to make more decisions for ourselves in what we need. You know, I think sometimes our little region gets forgotten about. And as we grow, you know, we're the people, you know, as Melanie, you know, we're the ones living here. And I think it would be great for us to be able to have more of a say on what we need. So hopefully mm-hmm. moving forward, that will happen.
Yes.
Well, actually, you know, here's my thought, ladies. You just said it, Leah. And here I'm going to just say it, is that we often rely on provincial and federal governments to send us the directions for immigration or whatever we're looking at. And I think it's really cool that it was the communities, and it is the communities taking the lead on such things as immigration. And so I think the provincial governments and federal government are finding it a little different, because we're now, you know, we're now telling them what we want to do and where, and the newcomers are showing the provincial and federal governments of where they want to live. So I think places like Gimli, like Dauphin, we have set a precedence where we're like, okay, you know what, we're going to do this with or without provincial support, just like Gimli did, right? Mm-hmm. So I think that's really important to say, that we need the provincial funding, and I think it's very needed. But I think it's really profound. We're at a moment where the communities have taken ownership, and we are leading the way, and we are doing things the way how we think they should be done. And we are not having the provincial government tell us how it should be done.
That's a good point. Yes.
Yeah.
And it's not a one size fits all either, right? And I think that's why it's so important to have local people making those decisions. What's happening in one region might be very different than what's needed in another region. And you won't know that unless you're living in that region, right? You won't know the little ins and outs and what's really available and what's not. Just because it looks like it's available on paper, it might not actually be, or it might not be as good as you think it is, you know?
Yes, exactly.
So what has the feedback been? You know, I'm a little bit curious, like you had mentioned about people coming from Vancouver, Toronto, some of those larger cities. What has the feedback been from them moving here? Are they enjoying it? You know, obviously it's much more affordable, they're feeling more comfortable, people from larger cities staying as well.
Yeah, like this is something that's just started to happen in the last like 4 or 5 months, where we're getting and just I think it's really important to say is that that's who we are actually wanting to help right now, are the people that are in other provinces that are paying astronomical rent, you know, especially in BC and Toronto, to come here. And, you know, here you can actually save money. And there's been people that have bought houses already. Really great stories there. So because it's relatively cheap to live here.
Oh, I have a great example, actually, of someone, not in Gimli, but in Fisher Branch, which is obviously in the Interlake. You know, he talked about the home that he bought, huge mm-hmm. backyard, forest, river, everything. And I said, you know, what would that have cost in Ukraine? He's like, oh, unless you were a millionaire, there's no way. No way you would have gotten a house like that with that kind of yard for his family. So
yeah,
great opportunities in terms of in rural areas, what you can afford.
And then Vancouver and Toronto, it's just, you know, even outside of there's certain regions even outside there where housing has become so unaffordable. So even mm-hmm. our own country, we're facing such a huge problem.
Yes. Yeah.
What are things that you would suggest when people are coming to Gimli? What are things you would recommend, maybe questions they ask, you know, things they prepare for, or are there common struggles that you've noticed when people first come and you're thinking, oh, yeah, I should have told them that, or as you've done this for the last couple of years?
Can you be more specific?
Okay. Well, I would say you don't need a license right away, but probably at one point you're going to want to get a license, you know, or save up for a vehicle, right? Because you might, let's say, start in that entry-level position in Gimli, but maybe you get an opportunity in Selkirk, right? That's, you know, more in with what they did, say, in their home country. So they're going to have to drive. But they love Gimli, so they want to stay there, right? Are there things that you sort of recommend to people to start looking at or doing, or, you know, be prepared for, I guess, that smaller towns offer or have?
For sure. Well, for one thing, I do all their MPI letters. So, for example, if somebody comes here and wants to get a license really fast, I do the letter the same day and they can walk a block away to AutoPack. So it's easy to, that's the other thing about small towns. You can get things done way more quickly than you can if you're trying to do the same thing in a city, or even getting someone to write you an MPI letter. You might wait a month. So yeah, that's good too. I find that in the last, I'm going to say 6 months to a year, everybody's like kind of looking after themselves, so to speak. It's kind of like, okay, we're settled. We've got a job. Some of them have got cars and they're not using our driving system anymore, which is great. And they've got a plan, and actually a car is probably one of the first things that they want to get. And then from there, they try to find housing. And we were very in the beginning, again, we helped a lot of people get housing. I had people calling me, we've got this place to rent, we have that place to rent. And now they're doing that on their own too. Like they know all the systems, they know where to look. So they're pretty independent. But they know that if they ever need anything, any questions, any help, they know where my restaurant is. And, I'm at the dorm. They see me there,
So if there is someone that's already in Canada that's looking to move from their area, wherever they live, or they're a newcomer within Canada, if somebody wants to move to Gimli, be it if they're newcomers or if they're somebody that's looking, to move out of the city and they're already in Canada, because I think that's critical to say, because your community's not in the business of, getting international people to their town. It takes a lot of work. So those who are already here with work permits or study permits, or those looking to move outside the city, who do they connect with? Where would they go? Like, how would they even start to investigate the possibility of living in Gimli?
We have a Facebook page, which we have just literally yesterday kind of reconstructed it. But it's been up there for a while. It's been dormant because we were, regrouping, but we do have a Facebook page and an email address and a phone number, so they can get in touch with us in any one of those ways. A lot message me. I get a lot on my messenger through the Facebook page, and they seem to like that the best. And mostly, I guess, because it happens quickly. If someone messages me, I respond rather than an email that, may sit there for a day or two.
And we'll have that, everyone, underneath the show notes as well, those links, so that if people want to contact you, they can.
Yeah.
And we should be really clear too. It's not just people from Ukraine. This is for everyone. It just sort of happened, because of the war, that's sort of how it started. But, anyone and everyone looking to move, to rural that's in Canada, connect with Melanie and find out, because it might be a great opportunity for you.
Absolutely.
And I think that's really cool when you mentioned about, everyone sort of, it's getting easier and easier, and it's because you've got those structures and supports in place now, right? So people, the people that initially came here, they're probably telling the newer people, and it's just getting easier and easier for people to get what they need, because they've got a safe place to live that's cheap. They're not stressing about, paying thousands and thousands in rent. They can sort of get an entry-level job to start off with, just so they can figure things out. And, it gives them time, which I think is really important.
Yes. And I mean, the next thing that we really are working on too is our next step was to, I've got those classrooms, Leah, I believe you taught in them at one point, just a half a block from the dormitory. And we really want to try and introduce like home care courses. We're sort of working with somebody, just again, everything was paused for a while there, but we're going to pick all this up again. Just so that people have other options. Like there's a very big shortage of home care here, or even to be a teacher's aide, someone that can go in and work with the kids that are from other countries and help them out that way. So we're just working on that kind of next phase.
That's really great. That's an amazing opportunity. So now they can live next door. They can be getting, yeah, training, credentials recognized, getting those skills. You know, that's huge for that next step.
Yes, yes.
And that does literally happen, because I have a number of examples of where teachers have started, you know, they're from other countries and they became educational assistants, and then they got their teaching designation, you know, slowly but surely, and now they're teachers. You know, if you start off as a healthcare aide and maybe you were a nurse in another country, it gives you that foot in the door, and you can do credential recognition. We haven't made it easy, but hopefully we will have strides soon. But I love that, because you're inviting people to a community where there's job openings, where you don't have to have a ton of education or training to fill those positions, just a great work ethic. So that's awesome.
Do you have any examples of someone who maybe came a few years ago, like a real success story? You know, maybe they got their credentials recognized, or they're working in a position now that they had worked in their home country, or maybe, like you said, they've bought a house and something like that.
Yes. Well, we have one family with a 4-year-old child now. When she was 2 when she came here, but they stayed in the dorm for a while, a long time, almost over a year, to save the money to be able to put a down payment on a house or an apartment. And it turned out an apartment came up that they purchased. And I think that it's fantastic. They had been looking around about where they wanted to live. And I mean, kind of which, you know, where, what province, you know. And but they decided to settle in Manitoba. And I'm ecstatically happy for them. And yeah, so actually, we just recently had another family purchase a house. So, and these families have children, and their children are going to grow up here, and they're going to be a part of our community.
Well, and that's amazing that the dormitory has given them that opportunity to really save a lot of money fast, you know.
Exactly.
It's pretty rare to find places like that in Canada to do that.
Yes. Yeah, that was a brilliant idea. Brilliant. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, is there anything else you want to add, Mel, that we may have forgot to ask you? Because, like, you know, it's such a great initiative that we want to make sure that we've covered everything in terms of employment, supports, everything that you guys have done for the newcomers that arrived in Gimli.
Yeah, you know what, I will add a couple of things that I did miss. It's really important. Manitoba Harvest has been a great support for us. So once a month we get Manitoba Harvest divide everything up equally, and everybody gets to, you know, have something to eat there. We also did put on Independence Day. We do try, we, you know, as much as we can, to put on different functions where people can get together. Yeah, we also hosted an informational session, which was fantastic, because that's where you get the real questions that that they want answered, right? So that was interesting. And I was just going to say, setting up, I think this is really important. We're setting up a summit at the Gimli Dormitory in our cafeteria, inviting a bunch of people that are directly involved with immigration integration to kind of get together and work together to see that we all have the supports that we need.
Well, Melanie, thank you so much for coming today and sharing what's happening in Gimli, the amazing opportunities. If you are a newcomer listening in Canada and you're looking to move rural for a different way of life, this is an amazing opportunity. So definitely reach out. We will have all the information underneath in the show notes.
Okay, everyone. Thanks for listening to Move Rural Canada. And until next time, live rural, live well.
If you feel this could assist other people like yourself, please like and share our podcast. As well, we will leave links below to the topics we spoke about today. Thank you for listening, and join us next time to learn about another great company and community that is a great place to work and settle.